This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you, thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said, thy word is truth. Jesus is the word, and Jesus is the truth. But this is Sherry, America's missionary messenger. So America, let's hear God's message. Please open your Bibles to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 9, where we left off last time. Psalm 119, under the heading Beth, verse 9, where we left off last time. This psalm is in what is called the Deuteronomy Book of Psalms, which means these are the words. These are the words of God. Now, let me give you a little recap. Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible. It has 176 verses. This is what we call an acrostic psalm. An acrostic means that God has hidden some words and secrets in it for the very elect's sake to see if you can discover that. It's a secret message to you. And the acrostic is determined by the arrangement of the Hebrew alphabet. Of these 176 verses, there are 22 sections, and there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And so each one of the sections has a heading with that letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Here's your chance to memorize the Hebrew alphabet, which has 22 letters. Each of those 22 sections has 8 lines, and each line has the particular alphabet somewhere in it. There, it begins with that particular alphabet under whose heading it is. One other thing, the sacred name of the Lord, the covenant name of the Lord, is used 22 times in this psalm, Yahweh, Y-H-V-H. Now, there are 10 words here, and I'm going to let you repeat these words back after me. Some of you might want to write them down or put them in your smartphone, however you want to do that. The 10 words are a secret code, and they are used in almost every line of this chapter, with one exception. I'll explain that when I get there. And these words relate to the 10 commandments. And these words are, and I'll let you say them after me, way.
Testimonies.
Precepts.
Commandments.
Sayings. Law. Judgments.
Righteousness.
Statutes. And word. And so you want to listen to them. They will be utilized at least one time in every line. Now, last time we began the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, Aleph. Some say Aleph, but some say patata and some say potato. So I'll say Aleph, okay? And the title was The Quickening of the Written Word. In other words, the written word of God. Quicken means to make alive. Now we're ready for Beth, which is verse 9. And Beth is entitled The Cleansing of the Way. See, if you're saved, you are saved by the way. Jesus is the way. And if you're saved, you're supposed to be walking in the way, which is the word. But as you walk, you get dirty with sin because we live in a filthy, dirty world. Now, how are you going to stay clean until you get back to Father's house? We'll find out. The cleansing of the way.
Beth, verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?
Now, the word there, young man, does not literally mean a young man. It means God's servant. All right, if you've given your heart completely to the Lord, we don't call ourselves by prideful names. We call ourselves a servant. That's why we say we're in his service. Minister means servant.
By taking heed thereto according to thy word.
Well, he answered it. Haven't I always told you, you have the question, the answer's in the Bible. And it's so beautiful by taking heed to God's word. Hear the word and then do what the word says, and that's how you keep clean. As Paul said in the great book of Ephesians, he said you are to be washed with water by the word of God. Now, most of you wash your body with water very often, I do hope, okay? Otherwise, you'll be dirty. But how much more your spirit needs washing, and the way your spirit stays clean and your soul is to be washed, saturated, soaked, submerged into the Word of God. And that's how you stay clean. You know, when the Word becomes a part of you, I don't mean your mind, your memory, or something you say. When it becomes a part of you, what it will do, it will talk to you. Isaiah says the Word will say, go there, don't go there, do this, call that person, get away from that person, do this, do that, give that. And it becomes an absolute guide to you. And then when you get into temptation's way, the word will rise up. The word is the truth and the shield, and will shield you from temptation. It'll say, stop.
10. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments.
Don't let me stray from your commandments. Now, he said the whole heart. He didn't say half-heartedly. My dear people, let's don't do anything half-heartedly. Jesus says either be cold or hot. He says if you're lukewarm, he says you make me vomit. That's actually what the word says. Spew you out of my mouth. You make me sick to my stomach. And I have never respected people who do nothing. I mean, get up and do something. There's something you can do, for God's sake. Make a difference. Shout, sing, dance, do something, scream. But don't sit and stare while evil takes over the world. Yeah. Have mercy. Now, in 1 Chronicles 29, round about verse 8, when David was about to turn the baton of the kingdom over to his 19-year-old son Solomon, he said, my son, if you will seek the Lord with your whole heart, he will be found of you. He didn't say half-heartedly. He didn't say read a verse here and then forget all about it and go on and hurry and try to find a person and try to find a job and try to find something else. And he says, but if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. That's a warning, Christian, whole heart. But if you forsake God, you know you can cross the line, be cast off forever.
11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee.
What a beautiful word, verse. The word hid there means a treasure. The Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We're not talking about you memorizing it or saying it like a puppet. We're saying when it becomes a vital part of you, where everything about you is that word. It's just vibrantly alive in you. And that word talks to you. That word you hide in your heart. Now, that does not mean that you hide the word from others, because Jesus said, let your light shine before men. Light means truth, and thy word is truth. That was our little saying there a while ago. And he says, but rather put it on a candlestick for the whole world to see. Do you know you're supposed to be filled with Jesus' Holy Spirit and the Word of God, so that your conversation is the Word of God wherever you go? The life sizzles out of you. When you walk into the room, life comes in, not death. Don't you ever, ever, ever go anywhere and they say, oh, come in and bring the life. Bring the light. Turn the light on. Turn it on in you. Hallelujah. Don't hide the Word. In other words, go and tell.
12. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statute.
Now we are going to learn in proof today that King Hezekiah was used by God to write this psalm. It seems to be anonymous, but he is teachable. And King Hezekiah was quite well versed in God's word. Always be teachable, because God is like a green fir tree. Hosea tells us that. He's evergreen, ever living. I can take the same book. If that's all I ever taught, of course, I go from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. If I just took one book, say this right here that I'm doing, this is live here. Now, later on, it'll be on the radio. It'll be as though I never heard it. yesterday when I turned on the radio and heard my own recording. I had never heard that. I shouted, I screamed, the Lord touched me. I was blessed. I learned. I heard his voice like I'd never heard him before. And yet I've taught that many times. Yet I've studied that. I practiced that. That was me. But it wasn't. You see what I'm saying? If it bores you and you said, I'm just listening, it's because I offer, you have got a problem. You've got a dead problem. Hallelujah. Now, so you're supposed to share it with others. It'll bring you alive and bring others alive.
13. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth.
In other words, I am teachable, he says. I'm going to be teachable, always be teachable. Some of you, Paul says in Hebrews, you've been going to church all your life. You have need of being taught. All you've drunk is the milk. You need to be taught. And he says, once you're taught and you get the meat, open your mouth and speak the word of God out of your lips. See, everything you get is to be given away. If I can ever get that to you, I live this way, and that's what it is. It isn't anything good that comes to you supposed to keep. Any love you get, you give it away. You get a flower, you give a flower. You got money, you give money to God's work. You give got the word, you give the word away. And he tells us to share. Open your mouth and speak the word of God. Ask God every day to put somebody before you that day so that you can speak the truth of God's word. Those of you who have been studying quite a bit here with Trumpet of Truth, I mean, you've got the third level. Some of you, not all of you. I know some of you are new, and some of you have been picking and choosing and coming and going. You haven't got it all. But my Lord, my God, most of you, even coming 6 weeks, have got more than 70 years somewhere else. You've got the whole loaf. So my Lord, how selfish to keep it. Ask God to put someone in your path to share it. Go and tell. Let your lips speak of his word.
14. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches.
As Psalm 1 says, my delight in his law do I meditate day and night. The psalmist here, and of course it is King Hezekiah, was quite rich. He lived in the palace there, and the doorknobs were gold. But he says, if I could have all the riches of the world, that does not make me as happy as your word. Now, I want Christians, all of you listening out there in airspace, do you really feel that way? Or is that something you say so the rest of the people in the church and your pastor believes that you love God? Has it gotten to the point that the Word of God is your nourishment, is your friend, is your guide, is your healer, is your supplier? Because Jesus is the living Word, and the Bible is the living Word in print. And if you could do that, you could be the richest, because no matter what happens to you, the Word of God will tell you how to get through that. He might not pull you out of it, but you won't drown in it. Amen. You'll be able to breathe in the fire, as I say. You're the richest person in the world. You know, Jesus says, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. Rather, lay up your treasures in heaven, where moth and rust cannot corrupt, where thieves cannot break through and steal. Revelation 14 says the only thing you can take with you are your works. You've got an account by your name in heaven. Have you made any deposits? How's your heavenly bank account?
15, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways.
I will regard and respect and revere you. Meditate there in the Hebrew means to ponder and to converse. Converse means to speak it out of your mouth. Christians, you're supposed to open your mouth and speak God's word. That's your conversation. That's your language. I do not mean in a proud and haughty way, but I mean it should flow out of you like breath flows out of you. It should be the natural. It is the conversation. It is our Father's voice, and we want to speak his voice. Meditate also means to say, to talk, to tell, to chew. Like a cow chews a cud. She chews and chews and chews, and then she swallows and brings it back up and chews some more. The Word of God. If some of you would meditate on the Word of God instead of your computer, your games, and what the news people are saying, we should keep up with that, but just concentrate on that. Or your problem, or your trouble, all of that, the Word of God would dilute all of that. You'd be surprised. The Word of God is more powerful than a two-edged sword. and has more power than all of the negation and evil words coming from the lying voices of this world.
16. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word.
I will not forget thy word. Do you know why? Because once you have studied God's word, you study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, 2 Timothy 2:15. Once you've gotten that word inside of you and you keep feeding on it, the Holy Spirit will take the word that is in you and pull it up and bring it to your remembrance in your time of need. In other words, the Holy Spirit is your teacher. So when you get in trouble, he does his x-ray vision. Is there a word in there that would get Susie out of this trouble? And see, if all you've been feasting on is one verse and 3 points and a quarrel and a book about the book and a joke and Uncle Tom and Aunt Edna and all that kind of stuff, you don't have any word. So the more, if you have all of the word of God in you, the Holy Spirit brings it back to your remembrance. The memory of the just is blessed.
Gimel, verse 7.
Okay, now we finish Beth. Now we come to let's see, what did it say? Let me go back to it.
I will not forget thy word.
So you will not forget the word.
Gimel, verse 17. Deal bountifully with thy.
Okay, now this dialogue is a prayer for strength. Do you need strength? Everybody at time needs strength. So Hezekiah is in great trouble. He's praying for strength. And he says, deal bountifully with thy servant.
That I may live and keep thy word.
The bountifully here is interesting. King Hezekiah is praying this. And in the Hebrew it means ripening, like fruit ripening on the vine. But it's a figure of speech for the word wean, W-E-A-N. Like you wean a little calf from its mama cow. The little calf's been drinking milk. Its muscles are starting to grow, so it's time to eat better food so its muscles will grow. But it's very difficult to wean a little calf from the mama cow. And there are two ways that farmers do this. One way is to separate the mama from the baby calf. But Lord have mercy, the grief. They wail and they howl and your heart breaks for them and you just can't stand it. They're so lonely, so you put them back together. But the second way is that there is a little instrument that you put on the nose of the little calf. It doesn't hurt him, but on the top of it, there's some little prongs. And every time little baby calf goes up to mama to nudge and get that milk, those little prongs jab her and she runs away. Well, after that happens enough time, we're going to stop giving that baby milk. And so Paul says that you are to wean yourself from milk. He said, yes, 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 you get Jesus died on the cross, Emmanuel, God with us, and shed his precious blood for the remission of our sins. He arose from the dead. He's coming again. Yes, that's the foundation. But he said, then go on and build the house. There is meat. There is a whole plan of God from the world that then was. 2 Peter 3:6. It started there. If you don't get that, you never do get the whole plan. You look like you're kind of in a daze. You don't understand why you came through. And Paul says, you have need of teachers. Some of you preachers, you have need to be taught yourself. Don't ever, ever, ever stop learning. Don't ever say I won't learn. Don't ever say I won't be teachable. God is just so fantastic. You always want to learn. But see, some of you have been going to church and you've been sitting on the pew and you're still a baby. Babies are cute, but they have no use whatsoever other than to change their diapers, give them milk and hug them. But you see, unless you get the meat of the word, how can God use you, especially here at the end, when all of this stuff that's going on with the President of the United States, that's in the Bible. With ISIS, that's in the Bible. With Egypt, that's in the Bible. With all of these nations, Russia, that's in the Bible. How can he use you if all you do is know, I'm saved, I'm glad you're saved. That's the best thing in the world, in the world, in the world. But you ought to grow. How do you grow? You study every word of God. One book about the book doesn't do it. 1 point, one verse, and 3 points won't do it. Let the Bible be the sermon.
Amen. 18, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wonderful things out of thy law.
Open thou mine eyes. In other words, reveal. Let me discover. Let me see clearly. You know, as much as I study, you would be in awe if you saw how much I study. Because, of course, first of all, I have to memorize everything because of certain things I'm struggling with. And I study. And then after I've studied every word, and every word from the original manuscripts, and I've listened to the Holy Spirit, I still say, Father, make it come alive to me. Reveal to me. Exactly. Speak it through me. And you know, hallelujah, he does. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
19. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me.
A stranger. I'm just passing through. In other words, Jesus mentioned this in John 17, round about verse 14. Jesus was praying for the disciples just before Jesus went to the cross. That is what is called the Lord's Prayer, John 17. And Jesus said, Father, I have given them thy word, and the world hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. That means the world age. In the world that then was, 2 Peter 3:6, world being age, we were all with him in a spiritual body. Ecclesiastes 12:6-7 says, when you die, your spirit returns to God who gave it. You were there in a spiritual body. And that is the catabole, Ephesians 1:4, before the foundation of the earth, foundation catabole, Satan's rebellion. And everybody followed Jesus except one little group. And that little group, every generation has a remnant been sent out. But we're not of this age. We just sit here on a mission. How can you, when you're totally married and in love with God, ever feel at home in this world where Satan is the power of the prince of the air? We are pilgrims and strangers on a mission. And that's what Jesus understood. But there is an age coming when we will feel at home in this world. That will be the third heaven and earth age at the end of the millennium. Jesus is going to rejuvenate this earth. God the Father, Revelation 21, is going to bring heavenly Jerusalem down. And we shall live as happy, acceptable home citizens right here, heaven on earth. Hallelujah. Yes, we're strangers now. We're not here for fun. I'm sorry. You thought you're supposed to be having fun. It's not about that. You have a job to do. Open your lips and tell the word of God and bring them out of the fire into the Holy Spirit fire.
20, my soul breaketh of the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times.
Okay, this is not written too well in English. What he says here. My soul is breaking with longing for the return of Jesus. And I am longing for Judgment Day. Ha ha! Now, how many of you are longing for Judgment Day? Many of you are quaking your boots. And if you're lost or if you're backslidden, you should be quaking your boots. At the end of the millennium, there's going to be the great white throne judgment. And the books are going to be open. But guess what? If you've given your life to God and to the best of your ability 24 hours a day, you have given it all away and served the Lord Jesus and completed the purpose he's given for you and been a light in this dark world, it's payday. Hallelujah, reward. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He is a good paymaster. I'm looking forward to it. You should look forward to it too. Serve him and he'll say, well done.
21, thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed.
Now, he's talking now. He's moving on into Judgment Day. At Judgment Day, that old proud one, Lucifer, serpent, devil, dragon, Tyrus, Antichrist, false prophet, son of the morning, all kind of play actor names, is going to walk into the lake of fire. He's going to fall into the lake of fire. Because he was so proud. He was so good for such a long time. One day he said, Isaiah 14, I will be God. I will put my throne above in the north on the sun, above the stars of God, stars, children of God, minus the flesh. Pride goes before a fall. And then in Ezekiel 28, God sentenced Satan. There he was using the name Tyrus, which means rock, false rock. God sentenced him to perdition, to turn to ashes. He's the son of perdition. He's the man of sin. He's the Antichrist. He's the devil. He's the proud one that's going to walk into the lake of fire. And you and I are going to see it.
Amen. Which do err from thy commandments.
The proud one did err from the commandments. You see, for eons and eons of time, Lucifer, Satan, that old dragon serpent, was very, very good. And so he was so good that God loved him. He made him the perfect pattern, Ezekiel 28. I mean, he just blessed him and blessed him and gave him the highest honor in heaven. Satan, Lucifer, got to guard the mercy seat. But one day, pride came in, and he said, why should I guard it? I'm so beautiful. I'm so rich. I'm so anointed. I'm so wise. I'm such a great musician. I'm like God. I think I'll be God. And so he forsook the word. Now, caution, Christian. You know, Jesus says, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. He says that in John 8. Now, see, many Christians start, oh, yes, I love the word of God, and you study. And, I mean, I'm looking around now. Well, we're all you enthusiastic people, okay? Over and over and over. If anybody can start. But boy, does it take a trooper to finish. But you know, I can't even imagine that it would be in your heart ever to turn away. So you see, eons and eons of years. The devil is a scriptural lawyer. Read Matthew 4:4 about the temptation there to Jesus. He's quoting scripture. He knows it better than most Christians. And he was good until pride. He forsook God. Christians, you're in the word, and suddenly you quit. Now, I know you say, I just quit one day. And suddenly, when you've dropped out one day, it's 1 month, it's 1 year, it's 3 years, and away you go. Be careful.
22, remove from me reproach and contempt.
Now, this verse 22 proves that King Hezekiah was used by God to write the entire Psalm 119. Because these words are also the same words used in Psalm 123 coming up, which is called a Song of Degrees, and it is definitely written by King Hezekiah. Now, the reproach and contempt here is because when Hezekiah was king there, and he was in Jerusalem, the mean old king of the Assyrian, who is a type of Antichrist, Sennacherib was his name, had conquered 46 cities, major fenced cities of Judah. And so he said, I'm coming and I'm going to get you, Hezekiah. I'm going to take Jerusalem. And he even said, I've got King Hezekiah like a bird in a cage. Now that's in the Bible, but do you know we also have proof of that? In the British Museum, they have there something called Sennacherib's Cylinder. And on it is written that Sennacherib says, I've got King Hezekiah like a bird in a cage. What is that? That wasn't enough reproach, what this verse said to poor old Hezekiah. Hezekiah's men there in Jerusalem up on the wall watching out for the enemy. And Sennacherib sent his top general, Rabshakeh. And Rabshakeh went to the wall and said, listen, you might as well surrender now because Hezekiah can't deliver you because your God cannot deliver you. You're going to lose. They diminished King Hezekiah's position to his own people. One-upmanship. Watch it in the church when someone comes in and tries to kind of, I'll just sort of, you know, take over the pastor part. You can call me. You can look to me. And look out. You see, all the time we see it. And that's where they were trying to diminish him and reproach. He was reproached.
For I have kept thy testimonies.
But he kept God's word.
23 princes all sit and speak against me.
Now he's talking about King Sennacherib. You know what else King Sennacherib did? He sent King Hezekiah a hate mail. Yes, he did. And he said, King Hezekiah, you might as well surrender. Your God is not able to deliver you from me. Well, that did it with Hezekiah. Hezekiah was embarrassed before his people. They put him down, and there he was, but he didn't fight. But when his God's character was maligned, he fought. Any elect, I mean, you can crucify me, you can say bad things about me, but when you talk about my God, I'm going to fight. An elect will fight. So Hezekiah went into the temple, spread the hate mail out to God and said, look what they wrote, God. Look at this hate mail. They're blaspheming you. They're saying you're not able to deliver us. Boy, that touched God's heart. God did deliver them. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
But thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. 24, thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors.
In other words, what I'm going to do, he says, when I need counsel, I go to the Word of God. You call up a psychiatrist and you pay all of that money to get counseling, and all the while God wrote you a love letter, and every answer you need is in the book. Incidentally, I do Christian counseling and I don't charge. But guess where I get the advice from? The Bible. We'll begin right there next time. This is your chance to memorize the Hebrew alphabet, Aleph, Death, Beth, Gimel, okay, and so forth. But right now it's time for Mystery Moment. Paul speaks of the mystery of God. Now we know that Jesus comes at the seventh trump. Revelation tells us that. The Antichrist, the instead of Christ, that's the devil with his Jesus costume on, comes at the sixth trump. We are now in the fifth trump, which is a time of learning. So may we hear the fifth trumpet of truth, please. Questions and answers. Question number one. Dear Sherry Trumpet, in Revelation 19, round about verse 17, an angel is saying, come to supper. Well, who's coming to supper? Okay, Revelation 19. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice to all the fowls of the air. That would be the vultures and the buzzards. And he says, come to the supper of the great God. You know what he's talking about? This would be the seventh trump when Jesus comes. And at that moment, 1 Corinthians 15:52 will take place. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall all change. We'll step out of our flesh suits and into our spiritual bodies. Now, we don't need the flesh suit anymore. God has his cleanup committee already ready. So he calls the cleanup committee the scavengers. Scavengers have a great use. You're not supposed to eat them, Leviticus 11. They're filthy, but they clean up things. And since Jesus is coming here and stay here 1,000 years, and then we're going to rejuvenate it, he doesn't want a bunch of fleshy old diseased bodies covering the planet. So he says, come and dine. Hallelujah. Okay, dear Sherry, in the book of Daniel, it talks about the little horn. Who is that? That is the Antichrist. Anti means the instead of Christ. The devil is not letting anybody play that part. He always wanted to be God. He's coming back calling himself Theosophos, God's Savior. But only Jesus is Yahweh's Savior. Okay? Dear Sherry, in Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 11, he says something there about hot wind. I know it must be some kind of a parable. Will you please explain? Yes, in Jeremiah 4, Jeremiah is using an analogy to give us an idea of how we'll be here at the end of this age and how it is right now and how it's just about to be. The hot wind is the word winnowing, like how to harvest grain. What they would do, they would beat the grain to loosen it from its little pod. And then they would put it in the wind, and the wind would separate the wheat from the chaff. It's an analogy, a prophecy. Jeremiah is saying at the end, just before Jesus comes, and as the Antichrist comes, there's going to be such hot wind, lying from the government, from Satan himself coming, pretending to be the Savior, standing there in Jerusalem, and sometimes from false prophets, that he's going to send this hot wind, and it's going to separate the wheat from the chaff. The chaff would be those who are lost. The wind, the air, will take them. However, some of the wheat will be caking in the air too, because they're not rooted and grounded and planted on the foundation of the Bible. Jesus said, one is taken, one is left. When you get taken, you be had. Okay, hope that helps. I could teach 6 hours on that one, but we'll stop there for time's sake. We've got other questions. Okay, dear Sherry, what is the time frame in God's opinion of Revelation chapter 20? The time frame there would be the 1,000 years reign of peace when Jesus returns and sets up that 1,000 years. We call it the millennium right here on earth, and the Zadok will be teaching when we will all have changed into our spiritual bodies, and Satan will be locked away for that 1,000 years. So it's a, now if you want to know more about the millennium, I taught that not too long ago on the radio. I do believe it's still in the archives on the internet. I taught the entire book of Ezekiel, every chapter, verse, and line from Ezekiel 44 on to the end. There's so much wonderful information about that glorious disciplined time of teaching in the millennium by the Zadok, by the elect, with Jesus right there. I can't wait. Come, Lord Jesus. which leads to the next question. Dear Sherry, is the word millennium actually in the Bible? The word millennium itself is not in the Bible, but it means 1,000 years. Peter says, 2 Peter 3, round about verse 10, he says, a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. The day of the Lord is a seventh trump, and Jesus comes. That's the day of the Lord, one long day. But remember that you're in your spiritual body, so you don't get tired and you don't get fired. Okay, let's see what else we've got here. Dear Sherry, in Revelation 20, it talks about another angel who has a key in his hand and a chain, and the key is to the bottomless pit. What does the bottomless pit mean? It's a figure of speech meaning degradation. It means whoever goes into that bottomless pit hits bottom. Leads to the next question. Dear Sherry, where is it in the Bible that that old serpent there in the garden is the devil? Well, first of all, it's in Revelation 12. We've mentioned that earlier. But your best scripture is Revelation 20, verse 2. I want everybody listening to write that down. Revelation 20, verse 2. This will clarify once and for all that that snake was the figure of speech in the garden. It was the devil. Okay, it says, I saw another angel with a key to the bottomless pit and a chain. And he laid hold of that dragon. Now remember, the dragon, Revelation 12, is one of the play actor names of the devil. And he laid hold of that dragon, that old serpent, there you go, which is the devil and Satan. I mean, Hebrew, Aramaic, Syriac, Greek, Chaldee, can't get any better than that. And he laid hold of the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan. So I do pray that that helps you. Okay, for those of you who are sick, I want you to know that I still pray for the sick. For time's sake, I haven't been able to put that segment back on of healing. But for those of you who are calling me, God bless you, Teresa, and I'm praying for your son, Nick. Feel free to call me and leave your prayer request, leave your ailment. In other words, if your name is Susie, say, hello, my name is Susie. Please pray that the Lord will heal me of arthritis and tell me where the arthritis is. It is in the hand or the neck, so we can be specific. And I am keeping a journal. I write your name down and I take it before the Lord every day. So feel free to call. My announcer will give you my telephone number at the end of this program. Also, come on Sunday here at my school, Sherry Medlock School, Cocoa, Florida, at 5 p.m. and come Wednesday night, 6:30 p.m. And I pray for the sick then. But call in your prayer request. Let me know, by the way, if I may use your name on the air, and once in a while we'll touch one of these. But we do speak in the name and the power of Jesus, that Jesus has come and taken 39 stripes on his back, and he sent his word and healed. So I say, be healed in the mighty name and the power of Jesus. Now, for those of you who are not saved, I want you to pray this prayer with me. I want you to not be a stranger anymore. I want you to live with me in Father's house forever. Jesus died. He shed his blood. He arose from the dead. So let's say, Father, I have sinned.
Father, I have sinned.
Forgive me of my sins.
Forgive me of my sins.
I'm sorry for them.
I'm sorry for them.
I believe.
I believe.
That God raised Jesus from the dead.
That God raised Jesus from the dead.
Save me.
Save me.
Fill me with your word.
Fill me with your word.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Use me.
Use me
to enlarge, your territory.
Your territory.
I love you.
I love you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
I do pray you prayed that prayer. Confession is made into salvation. Please also call me on the telephone and leave a message. Sherry, I got saved. For those of you who are being blessed by the radio program, it would mean so much to me if you'll just call and say, I was blessed by the program today. Thank you for that. Remember, you may call and leave your prayer request for healing or any prayer request. Or just to say hello, that you enjoy the program, or to tell me you've been saved. Sundays 5 p.m. here at my school. Wednesdays 6:30 p.m. here at my school. Now, all of these wonderful lessons with God's Word, they're wonderful to hear. They're exciting. They're adventuresome. But you ought to take heed to them. You ought to go and tell. You ought to tell people of Jesus. You ought to share the truth of God's word with others. Be a soul winner. Be useful to God. Give your life completely to him. Don't start and stop. Be steady. Be faithful. Be dependable. God cannot use double-minded people, unstable in all their ways, though he loves them very much. God bless you. I love you. Now remember this about Jesus, Yeshua. His name is called the Word of God. I love you. God bless you. Now listen to me play a measure of the Our Father on the piano, and then my radio announcer, Mr. Ray Cassis, will give you my telephone number. God bless you. Love you. See you next time.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
It must have been good, it must have been right. Well, to see you standing holding, well, holding me tight. Well, with your arms around me, I know that you are there. You'll never end the distance, I always know you're near. It must have been good, well, it must have been right. Well, to see you standing holding, well, holding me tight. Well, with your arms around me, I know that you are there. Never end the distance, I always know you're near. Well, nothing I can do, well, nothing I can say can make you love me more. Your love remains the same. Will you give it all for me? Will you gladly took my place? Put her in myself of all, well, all my guilt and shame. Well, all my guilt and shame. I must have been strong, well, I must have stood tight. Well, to yield the thoughts around me, that battle in my mind. And knowing you surround me, your wings cool my despair. Whatever my condition, the cross that shows you care. Nothing I can do, well, You're never in the distance, I always know you're near.